Well, this morning, as we continue to talk about the stewardship of our dollars for 2015, I'm continuing the theme from last week. Last week, we talked about the importance of having grace-filled hearts, hearts that are filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And today, then, I want to move on to talk about the importance of grace-filled giving. Because, you see, when God wants us to give, and God does want us to give, our giving is one of the ways we show our thanks to God. God wants us to give with the proper motivation. God wants us to give with hearts that are filled with his love and his joy. Because it's no fun for someone to give when they don't want to. When the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth about this gift he's collecting, he writes to them about to prepare this offering. And he talks so much about those Christians in Macedonia who were so generous because we suspect the Christians in Corinth weren't all that generous. They were not all that excited about giving. And so Paul writes to them and he says these words, that God does not want us to give reluctantly, and God does not want us to give out of compulsion. That is no way to give, even though some people give that way. No compulsion, not reluctantly, because what does God love? God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. When you get a gift from someone, do you want to receive the gift like this? Well, here's your stupid present. I hope you're happy with it. Or do you want to hear, I'm so happy I could give this for you. It was so much fun giving you a gift. Which would you rather have? Well, how do you think the Lord... The second one, very good. I'm glad. We want the second one. The Lord wants us to be generous in all we do. That is at the heart of giving. The Apostle Paul reminds us several times in his letters that we in the church isn't an organization or a group. The church is a living organism. He compares it to a body. And every one of us in the church, we are part of this body. And every one of us in the church, we have our role to do. If there's anyone in the church who doesn't do their part of serving the Lord and building up the body of Christ, the church suffers. And Paul reminds us that there should be no buts, no rear ends in the body of the church. Now, we always have our confirmation students on their ninth grade retreat. We give them a sheet of paper and draw a body and say, if the church is the body of the Christ, which one, what part of the body are you? And someone probably could say, well, I'm the rear end because I support the church. But we're not going to buy that one, folks. To be part of the church, you need to stand up. To be part of the church, you need to be active. There's an old saying in churches, it's called the old 80-20 rule, which says that 80% of the work in the church is done by 20% of the members, 80% of the money in the church is given by 20% of the members. God doesn't want that. God wants all of his people to be active and involved in the work of the church. We are each called to do our part. Because when we do our part, the church grows, the church prospers. We are the people of God as God wants us to be. And each one of us doing our part also has to do with the giving of our money. Because you see, stewardship needs to be a way of life for Christians. Stewardship isn't just something you talk about a couple of Sundays a year. Stewardship is not just giving to a church budget, although that's what we're part of what we're talking about today. In the past, a steward was a job. A steward had a job to do. You and I are called to be stewards, to serve our Lord, to give of our Lord, to give to our Lord, and to give through our Lord on a daily basis. I love this quote by John Wesley, the 18th century minister, the founder of Methodism. He wrote many, many, many hymns. Beautiful writer. And he says this, as God's people, we need to do all the goods you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. You can see stewardship is an ongoing part of being a Christian. And stewardship also needs to be heart work for us as Christians. We exercise to keep our hearts healthy. You have to do it to keep your heart healthy. Well, it's the same with giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord's work helps us to have a healthy, Christ-filled heart. That was central to our Grow in Grace capital campaign earlier this year. If you were part of that, remember, our Grow in Grace campaign was not just about raising money to do a building project. The reason we chose the company with whom we worked, RSI Stewardship, was because they emphasized the faith aspects of giving. Remember this book we all had? The 20-day devotional? Remember the daily prayers? Remember all the wonderful things that were in this book and in the program designed to help us as God's people grow and pray as givers? It was a wonderful experience for us, not just to raise money for the church, but to help all of us grow in what we do. And I hope you remember this important quote from our stewardship campaign, our capital fund appeal, that we know, God knows, that not everyone can give gifts that are equal in the same amount of dollars. Some people have more money than others. But all of us can give gifts that are equal in the amount of personal and faith sacrifice. That is what it is to know grace-filled giving. The giving we give to the Lord, our offerings to the work of the Lord, it's not just about giving money to the church. In a greater sense, it is about giving ourselves to the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says that each one of us, we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. We are to do those things that are holy, acceptable, and perfect. So, as we talk about things such as budgets, we need to remember that our budget, along with our building program, is important work for us to do. But there is so much more that we do as Christians. Everything we are about is about building up the body of Christ. It is about making us stronger. It is about helping the church move forward. If you were here last week, you remember I said the hymn does not say, "Stand still, Christian soldiers." It's onward, Christian soldiers. When the church stops moving forward, the church dies. We are always to be moving to serve the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul did 2,000 years ago when he was collecting this offering for the church in Jerusalem suffering from a famine. Everywhere Paul traveled, Paul was always moving forward. Everywhere he traveled, he encouraged Christians to give to this offering to help people they had never met. And he reminds people as he goes along that I'm not in this for the money. Paul, when he traveled, never took money for his missionary work. He was a tent maker. And so in every city where he stayed, he would earn money, and then he would work for the gospel on the side. And he wants people to know that I am not getting anything personally out of this. And as he travels toward Jerusalem, as he stops from city to city, he constantly reminded people of these words of Jesus. They're not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're only found here in the book of Acts, where Jesus reminds us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That comes from Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And today we heard the words of the golden rule, that we should do to others as we want them to do to us. Those ideas, that understanding, is at the heart of having Christ-filled giving, grace-filled giving. So, the nitty-gritty of our budget for 2015. We know it's not the most glamorous part of the work of the church, but it's important, and I'm going to call Mara up in just a minute. But again, last week we shared that your council leaders are going to work very carefully. They're always conscious about the money we give, but there are some areas where we need to realize some expenses will go up. The cost of heating the church. Everyone here is praying for a winter like we had 2 years ago, right? When it was in the 50s all winter. We're all looking for that, okay? But we don't know what we're going to get. We need to deal with the increasing cost of health care for our rostered staff. We want to talk, and Mara will talk, about giving raises to our church staff. And as always, we talk about the importance of giving more away. At Grace, we give 10% of all of our offerings away to help the greater church. We want to always make that more. So I'd like to call upon Mara Schwartz, who's the president of our church council here at Grace, to share with you a little bit about what our church council is talking about and about some of our giving goals for this year.
Good morning. I just want to say, first and foremost, it is very scary being up here. I know you all are lovely people, but it's scary, and it's extra scary to start talking about money in front of you all. Money is something that we don't really like to talk about in our culture, right? We barely talk about it with our spouses and our families, let alone our larger church family. So when I was asked to do this, I'm very grateful to be a servant of the council and of the church to come up and talk with you all about some of the important things we've got going on. but it was scary. So I started looking a little bit more about what God has taught us through the Bible. And really, I saw a lot of what Paul's already talked about, Pastor Paul's talked about this week and last week, which is that God calls us into talking about money and giving, not because God wants our money from us, right? God owns really everything we have, but God wants our hearts. And I think Pastor Paul's done a great job in kind of touching on that point. And I think then there's a second point that happens with Jesus and the Apostle Paul and the rest of the prophets, and that is that it takes money to get ministry done. And that's true in biblical times, and it's true today. It takes money and resources to make things happen in this church, to further God's ministry in this world, to touch the lives of everyone here at Grace, in the Grace family, and out in the community. And so it is really important to start talking about money and talking about how we allocate our resources, both here at church and in our lives. So I think the first thing is that, you know, Pastor Paul touched on it. There are a number of line items in our budget for this upcoming year that we're going to probably need to increase, and that's just a reality, right? Inflation, 2% inflation or more, it happens. Things are not getting cheaper. And so that needs to be taken into account when we look at our church budget. But the other thing that we really wanted to look at in particular, I know myself and the council, we want to look at our staff. Our staff here at church is amazing. Grace has a full, faith-filled staff who pours their heart and soul into everything they do. Our pastors, our AIM, our office staff, our music staff, and our custodial staff. They work their little behinds off to make sure that ministry happens and that ministry is truly influential in this world and in this community and in this church. We want to make sure that through Grace, we change lives for Christ. And this staff is fully committed to that. And for that, I am ever grateful. They do everything from, you know, the pastors and the AIM you see up here giving messages, preaching, teaching, Bible studies, all of that. Our office staff is incredible, doing all the behind-the-scenes work, everything from looking, gathering our finances, putting it in big spreadsheets, helping our treasurer, collecting all of our all of the time and talent sheets, putting that into spreadsheets and making sure we have volunteers for everything that we need to happen in this church. We've got an amazing music staff that makes sure that worship here is praise-filled and that we can feel the love of Christ moving through our hearts and we can give praise and thanks to the Lord. We have a fantastic custodian, Dennis. I don't know if you know him. He's really behind the scenes, but he has done amazing things over this past year. He's been up on the roof fixing a lot of our leaks. He was, I guess, in here this week getting rid of a bee's nest, I think, in the sanctuary so that we could have a safe Sunday morning services today. They really do. They put a lot of work and effort into making sure this church runs smoothly, making sure it's a Christ-filled area for us all to come and gather and do God's work. That being said, I don't know how much you guys are all aware of the finances over the past couple of years, but our staff has not received a raise in quite a number of years. Due to budget, due to the economy, due to whatever you want to say, we have not been able to compensate our staff. And as I said before, as we move in this world, you know, there are increases in cost of things, and so by not giving our staff a raise, we've actually given them a cut in pay. In addition, last year the budget was extra tight, and our rostered staff, both of our pastors and our AIM, received a cut in their compensation. That was really heartbreaking for me. Their work did not decrease. Their work, in fact, probably in this past year, has increased because of the Growing Grace campaign that we've been working on. And so that, you know, it was a reality, and I know the council, well, as being part of the council, we struggled deeply with that, but bills come in and we need to pay them, and that's how we did it last year. And the council this year is committed to not make that decision again. We would like to fully compensate our staff for the hard and amazing work that we do here at Grace, that they do, that they inspire us to do. And so we, as a council, are really calling the whole Grace family to step up to increase your giving in order to compensate our staff. It's the right thing to do. It's the important thing to do. This staff of this church uses the income that they get from here to pay their bills, to support their own families. Our rostered staff has health insurance, which those costs are increasing greatly this year. And the council is committed to staying at the same level of health insurance for our staff, our rostered staff. That's going to cost. But we know it's important. You know, Pastor Paul mentioned that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was not in this for the money. And I can guarantee you that neither is our church staff. Church staffs are not paid exorbitantly, but we at Grace here need to be committed to paying them what we can. And I think what we can is more than what they have been paid. So I'd like to challenge you all to look at your giving from this year and look into your giving in 2015. I want to share a little bit about what myself and my husband are looking at doing. I want to share it not because I want you all to know exactly what I'm giving, because that's sort of scary to tell you all, but I want to share because I'm just like you. I have a family to support. I have daycare payments to make. I've got car payments, a mortgage, but it's possible to increase your giving. Greg and I, over the past number of years, have been committed to increasing our giving to a full tithe. It's been very difficult for us. It hasn't been without sacrifice. And this year, we are going to be increasing from just over 9% to a full 10% tithe. That's a 1% increase in our giving. And that's what I really challenge you all to do. A 1% increase sounds scary a little bit, and I certainly don't expect you all to jump up to a tithe right away. Myself, I did not. It took a lot of years of planning and small increases, but I would encourage you to look at your finances. If you're at a 3% giving for your income, I encourage you to go to a 4%. If you're not giving at all, I would encourage you to move to a 1% or a 2% giving. If you're at 8% to 9, etc. It's scary, it's hard, but it's doable. And I can tell you it's doable because I've done it. The last little piece, and this is like my personal little soapbox, is I don't know if you all are aware of our e-giving program here at Grace. It's through the ELCA, and it's a fabulous program where you can sign up for e-giving at the beginning of the year, and they will take your offering right out of your checking account and put it right into Grace's checking account. This is wonderful for me, who is juggling way more things than I can handle and frequently forgets to bring cash or a checkbook to church every Sunday. And even when I do, I go, oh, shoot, oh, the offering plate's going around, and I hurry to write my check. And then I forget how much I've pledged or how many weeks I've missed, and I have to try and catch up. This eliminates all of that. It's been a blessing for me. I also feel like it is... It helps me be more biblical in my giving. At the beginning of the year, with the pledge cards, we get to choose how much we're giving, and then we're going to give the first fruits, right? Because God asks us to give the best of what we have, the beginning of our harvest, to God. And that's what e-giving does for me. I get to choose what I want to give. I mean, everybody, we're going to ask everyone to fill out a pledge card, but I get to choose, and then that comes out first. It comes out before I pay any of my bills, before I go to the grocery store, before I decide to go out to dinner, right? So that comes out, and then I live my life with the rest. It's been a great blessing for me. I know, speaking from council experience, it is an enormous blessing for council. The more people who e-give, the better level loaded our giving is over the year. You're not catching up if you miss a week of church. And as you all know, bills don't come in spurts. They come throughout the year. And so if you e-give, it allows the council to have more confidence and more cash flow throughout the year for paying our bills. So I really encourage you to look into it. I know I've heard from a couple of people who've considered it. It's not for me because then I don't get to put anything in the offering plate. And I think you can put an empty envelope in the offering plate if that makes you feel a little less nervous about e-giving, or a note or a prayer request in the offering plate instead of your actual check. But if you have questions about e-giving, I know the office staff and the pastors can probably help you out with that. I think there's some in the packets you'll be getting, some information about e-giving. And I would encourage you all to prayerfully consider doing that because it's helpful for the church. In summary, you know, there are a lot of things that I would love as a council member to increase the budget on. Everything Paul mentioned, our heating bills, our benevolence. I'd love to increase the line items for all of our ministries here at Grace. We've got amazing ministries that do a lot of great work. And I think that the staff and the council is committed to doing that. But the council, first and foremost, wants to make sure our staff is taken care of and paid well. So when you're considering giving, I really encourage you to look at increasing by 1% of your income with the goal of paying our staff fairly and well, and then taking care of the rest of the ministries we have here at Grace. All of that said, it's sort of serendipitous that today is the day I get to come up and talk to you about how much I love our staff and how much they deserve to be paid well for it, because it is also Clergy Appreciation Week this week. And we really do love our clergy, and we're so thankful for everything that they've done for us. I encourage you all to say extra prayers for them this week, prayers of thanksgiving and joy. Write them a note about how they've influenced your life. I know that each one of the rostered staff here, as well as the rest of the staff, have touched my life in different ways. And Lisa, if you could bring those up, we do have a special gift for our rostered staff. So,
thank you.
Paul and Heidi, thank you so much.
Very sweet. Thank you.
And Aim, she's sick, but so let's just give a round of applause for our amazing.
Again, just to wrap things up, thank you to Mara. Thank you for all the excellent leaders. You do have really great leaders here at Grace who keep this congregation moving, who keep us focused, and who do the work of the Lord. And Mara is in church 3 times this week, so thank you for all of that. As you leave worship today, you will receive your packets. They're in these envelopes. They're in little baskets, buckets that are alphabetized. I encourage you to take it home. Inside is a letter about our stewardship this year, some of our goals, also some suggestions that I shared last week about ways in which we can increase our giving. There is also information about e-giving, as Mara talked about. That's a great way to help the church out. And then also your faith commitment card. We ask you to take all the information out, to talk about it, and then to pray about it. Because again, as we learned in our Grow in Grace campaign, prayer is so important in helping all of us to grow, all of us to do what we can do. Because again, when we offer our gifts to the Lord, God wants us to give freely and God wants us to give generously. And every one of us here, no matter what amount you are able to do, every one of us here is able to do something that is personal, meaningful, and sacrificial to be part of the body of Christ. So, once again, I thank you for your generosity. I thank you for all you do, for all your giving this year, for your commitments to our Grow in Grace campaign, for your ministry and service of your time and your talents around this church, and for your giving next year as well. And above all, we give thanks to our God, our wonderful God who has made us, who has given us everything we have, and above all, who has given us his most amazing gift, Jesus Christ. So take a quiet moment in your heart just to ponder, to think about what it is to truly know that it's more blessed to give than to receive in the work of the Lord.